Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have Mikey and John joining me today, along with a very special guest, former Illini All-American and current professional golfer Nick Hardy. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
So maybe we start with this past weekend. You played in your second PGA Tour event of the year, the Waste Management Open, where you finished 42nd. And I believe you had the opportunity to play with Justin Thomas on the Saturday round, right?
Yeah, third round, yep, Saturday.
How was it teeing it up with one of the best players in the world?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. I mean, he's a heck of a player. I didn't know much about him, you know, going in. I've never met him before, and I didn't know what to expect, really. I mean, I know he's a great player, obviously top five player in the world. I was pretty nervous, you know, on the first tee shot. I mean, as always, if you really care about someone, you get nervous, you know. So I was nervous, but I mean, I knew I was like, you know, it's going to be a fun day out there. You get to play with one of the top players in the world. So it was a good experience. He's a great dude. You know, we talked a lot out there. I just felt like, you know, leaving there, you know, I got to see why he's a top five player in the world up close. He played great when I played with him, bogey free, 7 under. So it was just a great experience for me to get to, you know, soak it up a little bit, you know, and watch him.
And then you followed up on Sunday. I think you were paired with Max Homa. Is that right?
Yep.
And
legend.
Yeah, I was going to say, for people who don't know Max Homa, he's the king of roasting golf swings on Twitter. Did he give you any lip on the course?
I didn't ask him. I didn't want to be roasted out there. Are you kidding me?
I was going to say, what's the chirp game like for some of these guys when you're just like, I'm not going to say a word to you, but are they giving you anything?
They're not. You know, we're like gentlemen. We're trying to act like golfers. You know, like we're not chirping each other like a football game. We respect each other. Golf's just that kind of game. But like, no, they're all great guys. Like, you know, there's really not many bad dudes out on the PGA Tour. They're all great guys, gentlemen, good ambassador of the game. I feel like I had good experiences with both Max Homa and Justin Thomas. They were good dudes. You know, they're not that much older than me. They're probably like 3 or 4 years older than me, both of them. But you know, they've established themselves nicely on the tour. They both won now. So you know, it's just great to play with those guys. You know, like I feel like I'm just still getting my career going. So guys who've kind of established themselves, for me to get a front row seat seeing them play on Saturday, Sunday of a big tournament, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Nick, thanks again for joining us. You know, I am not the best golfer out there, but I do have a hole in one. I'll say that out there now, as does Dan. So hole in one club. But my question for you, this is something that, you know, pro golf, golf in general, obviously is a very, very tough sport. In terms of preparation, like when you're going into a weekend, you know, how often do you, or how many times do you play the course before, you know, you actually start? You know, how long do you take on each hole? Do you study film? Do you study your swing speeds? Just kind of take us through that, because I'm sure there's, you know, a major long process for that.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a great question, Mikey. I mean, like the game of golf, there's just so much to it. There's so much you can practice, so much to prepare for, you know what I mean? So like any given week, there are so many different things you could focus on in any facet of the game to prepare yourself for a tournament like that. So basically I'm, you know, going through the checklist of like, you know, my golf swing, my chipping, my putting, my, you know, how fast and how firm the greens are, how firm are the fairways. Like so in any given week of the tournament prep, I'm like trying to get to know the golf course, you know? So It just depends. Like some tournaments I've played this course in the past, some I haven't, but you know, me just getting started out on the pro circuit a little bit. I haven't played most of these courses. So the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of a week is really important for me to get to know the course and just, you know, really just study up on the golf course as much as I can, because I'm playing against guys like, you know, guys like that are 50 years old who've seen these courses 30 times. So 30 years in a row. So like, you know, the experience and knowledge of a golf course is so important. It's very underrated in the game. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for me are very important. You know, and getting to know the course. But on the PGA Tour on Wednesdays, you can't get on the golf course. So because of the pro-ams. So the pro-am is going on. So the guys who are in the pro-am are the only ones allowed on the course. So like for me, when I, you know, I'm Monday qualified into two events this year, I have to get to know the course on just one day, Tuesday, because I'm Monday, you know, Monday I'm playing in the tournament to get in the tournament. So that day is taken up. And for this specific one at the Waste Management, I got in on Tuesday morning. So it gave me even less of time to prepare, but it just so happens that out here in Tuesday, you know, in Scottsdale, I practice at TPC Scottsdale. I play and practice there all the time. That's where I go to practice every day. So I actually knew this golf course back to front really well. It doesn't happen like that all the time. Like in Hawaii, when I Monday qualified there, I had to learn the course in one day. And it's pretty, it can be overwhelming when you Monday qualify because the week is shortened so much and there's so much to do in so little time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I just think, you know, not to compare golf with football, but, you know, in terms of preparation, a lot of our preparation, you know, was done on the film room. We could see what the other team was doing. And
totally.
You know, for you guys, you know, you got to get out there and play the course and, you know, read the greens, like you said. So there's it's tough, you know, not being able to get out there and play it a few times, you know, leading into the big weekend.
Totally. Like, yeah, that's a good point, though. You know, the golf course, the game of golf itself, you may not feel as prepared as like a football game, say, because like you're preparing like 6-7 days in advance for one team, for mm-hmm. one. So like you can feel very prepared on a golf course. Like my time, you know, if I play 25 events in a year, that's half the year. My time away from those 25 events is so important because that's really my time to hone in on myself and my golf game itself. Because not only you got to prepare to learn a golf course, you got to prepare internally and know that what you have, your golf swing, you're prepared, you know, for the way you handle yourself on the course. That's, you know, there's kind of two ways to prepare. So that is definitely the tricky part about golf is, you know, earning that confidence and trust in your game away from the tournaments too, you know?
Yeah.
So I know you said you'll go play the course and that obviously helps a lot. How much do you and your caddy just sit down with a yardage book, like game plan? Okay, this is a dog leg right. I need to get it through the dog leg so I have a better angle back into the green
right
ahead of time. So before you get out on the course, you already kind of know how you're going to mm-hmm. attack it.
So the most important thing in a practice round and in the practice rounds is learning what club you're going to hit off the tee, because that sets up, you know, the whole game. Obviously, is like, am I going to hit driver here and send it down there and squeeze it down there, or am I going to lay back in a 2-iron? Just strategy of how to play the tee shots is the most important thing that me and my caddy go through, I'd say, in a tournament week. Because once a professional learns how like the greens are playing, how firm and fast they are, then you kind of work your way back, and you kind of work your way back all the way to the tee and learn what you're going to use off the tee, because that's really the most important thing in preparation for a golf course is what club we're going to hit off the tee, because that sets up everything else, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of have a more of the, I'm definitely the worst golfer of the call. So
I'm not that good. So,
oh, trust me, I'm terrible. Danny can attest to it. There's a couple of videos.
I've taught these guys both golf, and I don't know, it might be a tie at the bottom of the leaderboard.
Oh man.
I don't tie goes to you because I don't have the career hole in one. Do you have any of those, Nick?
Yeah, I do. I have 5 hole in ones.
Jeez,
what? I grew up
mini golf legend.
And every course I have 12. So, like, if you want to count them, you can count them. But like, it's a par 3 course I grew up on, so total I would have 17.
Don't say anything about the par 3 course. That's where Mikey had his.
I know you guys. No. I guess I'll count them too. So, I have 17 then, if those count.
Oh my gosh!
All right. Well, I feel like I just shouldn't say another word this entire call. But in terms of like, so I don't think I've done either of these in my career. But in terms of like a comparison to like football or basketball, like it would be like if you're a wide receiver catching a one-handed pass or toe tapping on the sideline or like dunking a basketball or shooting a 3-pointer, like what would you rather have as like a golfer? Would you rather like stripe one you know, it's going to, you know, it's landing middle fairway 300 plus on the carry, or you do, you, would you rather sink, you know, like a 45 foot plus?
Yeah. I think
five
footers is a great feeling. Like anything, you know, outside of 20 feet is really a nice putt. So that's a good feeling, sinking 25 footers, because, you know, like you can strike it, you know, stripe a drive and just hit a terrible second shot. I like knowing I made a 25 footer, I finished the hole, you know, I made birdie or par, whatever I made that putt for. So I think making putts from like long range is pretty cool.
How much time do you spend on the putting green as compared to the range or the short game area? Because I know a lot of the best golfers, it's really the short game putting that you make up that ground.
Putting, it's a huge factor, obviously. Like that's probably the biggest difference between a professional golfer and a 5 or 6 or 7 handicap is just the short game and the putting. Like that's really the separator. I feel like a strength of mine has always been putting. So I may be on the lower side of how much I spend percentage wise of my time on putting. I probably spend like 20% of my time on my putting. Some guys, it may be different. Some guys, it may be 40% of their time on putting.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, my strength, one of my strengths is my putting. So, I'd say I spend maybe on the lower side of percentage of time on my putting, compared to the rest of my game. But that's a crazy part about golf. It's like, there's so many different shots to prepare for and that so many different facets of the game where you can improve. So that's why I love the game, is because there's so many ways to improve. And it's really just a never ending, you know, just trying to perfect something. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time on putting too, and it just doesn't seem to work out for me. You know, I'll 3-putt from 8 feet. So a lot of,
but you're good at, you can learn, you guys all three, you know, sports, you know, competition, you guys can all, you know, figure it out just by practice and repetition. You know, you're on the jugs machine, just, you know, doing repetition, hundreds of catches. It's the same thing with just trying to knock in 4-footers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, my power, you know, I just hit it too hard. It goes way over the pin.
Speed is practice. That's definitely, that definitely just more time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, a similar feeling you probably had this weekend at the Waste Management is the infamous stadium hole. You know, you get the crowd, and I know it wasn't, I don't think, full capacity this year, but no. did you feel that energy? Or you feel those nerves on that tee, that par three?
Totally. It's different. I mean, like, I don't know the exact number of fans. Maybe 50,000, 40,000 is like the normal number of fans in there, but it was probably 3,000. But it's still just a massive bowl, a massive stadium. It was the same, you know, kind of structure. So it's just as intimidating just in terms of looks. But the noise definitely wasn't the same as what it normally is. But it was, you know, that's probably the most basic hole on that course. It's just like a 160-yard par three. But they really make it something special when they put that kind of stadium around it, you know?
Yeah. I always want to ask a professional golfer this, because as like an amateur golfer, I always have this thought of when the crowds are there and they're like just right off the tee box. Like, you ever just think in the back of your mind, like, what if I just hit a little hosel rocket right here and just send it right into the patrons right off the tee box?
I don't let those thoughts cross my mind.
That's what I figured. But, you know, every once in a while it slips in a on the range, you hit one of those balls and you're like, where did that come from? And I'm like, if I did that on the course every once in a while, I'm like, I would just tell everyone that's next to the tee box, just get out of the way for this shot. And, you know, you're a little too close. You never have that feeling though?
No, I don't have that feeling. I don't let myself think that negative of thoughts. I mean, it can happen. It's happened before. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but I know.
Well, now we know who to blame if you end up doing that.
Yeah, just I didn't mean to plant that thought in your head or anything, but you know, I always think it myself, so I was curious if a professional golfer even has that thought cross their mind.
No, I don't think anyone does out there.
that's interesting to hear, because I definitely have that thought every single time I swing a golf club. But you know, that's what makes you the pro. You know, mentally, golf is big time mental game, because if you have one bad shot, you can't, you know, let it snowball into more bad shots. You got to just forget about it and keep going. So it's cool and good to hear from you that you mentally, you know, block out all those negative thoughts.
Totally. Yeah. In golf, you're always facing adversity, like basically every step of the way, which, I don't know. I think that's what creates, you know, what makes the game so exciting is because, it's just such a hard game. And a lot of people, most people have all the respect for it because of that, you know?
I want to talk about the Monday qualifiers, cause that's how you've gotten into these last two tournaments. And I was following you a little bit, and the big story was, I think, five straight birdies, right, to claim that last spot.
Yep.
How were you able to, Mike, you was talking about snowballing in a negative way, but, you know, did you know that you were going to need a birdie every single hole to make it at that point? Were you pushing the envelope a little bit to try to make birdies?
I teed off about 145 that day, and I knew I wasn't going to finish before dark. So I knew going into those, especially the one I played last week, you know, the one for the Waste Management is always the biggest field. It's always the best competition because like everyone's trying to Monday for that one. And it's also during a time where all the Korn Ferry players don't have a tournament. So, it's probably the toughest one to make on a Monday. And plus there's only three spots. There's normally four.
Yep.
And I go in there, you know, you got to go low, you know, we got to shoot probably 7 or 8 under at least. Just to make it. And, at that point I was going to play my 16th hole and it was just getting about really dark where like dark enough where you got to stop. And I was only 4 under and I knew I would have to at least birdie the last three to have a chance, of even, you know, maybe like that wouldn't even be enough.
Right.
So, it was getting dark and I was like, maybe I should probably just stop and finish in the morning. But I kind of wanted to finish that hole that night because it was a par five and, that time of day, the ball goes a little further than it does at, you know, 8 a.m., especially in Arizona. So I wanted to finish that hole because I think I would have a better chance of birding it because it was like a close to 600-yard par five, and I wanted to reach the green in two. So I hit driver. I hit a great drive down the middle, and I had like 270 in, which is like about like my three wood. So I hit a hard cut three wood around the trees, and I was just short of the green, and at that point they blew the horn signaling like, okay, you have the choice to stop or finish the hole you're on. So, I was just short of the green and pretty easy up and down. So I figured, you know what, let's just finish and, finish this hole. So I hit my chip up there about 8 feet and I made the putt and I finished and I look at my phone, you know, the scores and I'm like, dang, I got a chance to make it if I go birdie in the morning. So, I, you know, get a quick dinner, go to bed, and I wake up 8 a.m. restart. I got two kind of tricky holes left. The first one I'm playing is a par three. It's like a 210-yard hole to a tiny green. So I got to go birdie. I got to birdie that hole, and then I got to birdie a par four about 420 yards, usually through like driver, pitching wedge, or 9-iron. Ugly left. So I carry the mindset. Look, I know I got to make two birdies. So I went out there, and I'm like, got to hit a good shot on the par three. I hit it up there to like the fringe area at like 25 feet. And I decided to chip it in a turn where I'd probably putt it just to flag it up there close and make my par. I chipped it because I knew that was a better chance of making it. I made the chip. And then the next hole, I hit a driver in the fairway. I was in kind of a little, you know, bad lie, maybe a little divot in the fairway. And I hit a great pitching wedge out of it to like 10 feet. And at this point, my adrenaline's pretty high. I'm pretty nervous. I'm excited. Like, holy crap, I have a really good shot to make it. And I made the putt and I go nuts. And I'm like, wow, I just couldn't believe I kind of pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is wild. And so at that point, when I made the putt, I knew I was probably at least guaranteed a playoff. So I wait around another half hour. I try to slow myself down. What the minute I walk off that last hole, I'm like preparing myself as if I'm in a playoff.
Right.
So pulling my breath down, I'm doing everything I can just to get back to normal, you know, like my normal, just resting heart rate and all that. And so, 30, 40 minutes go by and I find out I'm in a 2-for-1 playoff. Once you find out, you kind of like go straight to the range and like hit a few balls and boom, you're off onto the whatever playoff hole it is. So we went out to the 18th hole, which is a par five. And, I was up against Anirban Lahiri, who's like a really, you know, he's a really established professional golfer. He's worldwide. He's had a great career. He's made a lot of money. And we played this whole, you know, we were supposed to play it three times and then go to a different hole, sudden death. So we both birdie the first hole, go to another playoff, second playoff hole, same hole. Both hit four tee shots. He hit it left of the green. I hit it right of the green. He hits this crazy, insane, really good chip to 3 feet. I hit it to like 9 feet. I make my putt. He misses his 3-footer, and boom, I made it. Like, I birdied. That's how I birdied the last five. Make it. It was pretty wild. Like, I mean, the adrenaline is so high. Like, all I'm trying to do in that moment is just slow myself down, slow my heart rate down. Luckily, I've been in a couple other playoffs before. In this exact same Monday, I was in a playoff 4 for 3 spots 2 years ago. And I was the one to miss of those four guys in the playoff. 3 guys made it, and I missed. I bogeyed the first hole. Having that experience before of, like, just high-pressure situation, like, you know, and I had a lot of failures my first year as a professional golfer. Like, I missed Q school by 2 shots, second stage of Q school by 2 shots, by 3 putting the last 2 holes. I missed, like, several. I had several sponsor exemptions my first year, and I totally, you know, missed a cut by 1 and 2 or 3 of them. So, like, they were just close calls, pressure situations that I learned from, of how to handle myself down the stretch, and that really helped where I failed many times. So having those experiences, you know, bad experiences that I failed from, and finally being able to get better at changing how I respond to those situations, it's just great to finally start succeeding in them, you know?
Is that where the quadruple fist pump came from too? All those failures built up?
It was built up because, like, I just didn't really think I had a chance. Waking up and knowing you got a birdie the last 2 holes and doing it, it's a pretty cool feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I saw that video. I got pumped too. I was like ready to go run through a wall. Like, let's go. That was awesome. So the night before, how many times did you, like, mentally envision what was going to happen the next day? Because I feel like if I was in that situation, I would have played it over 1,000 times in my head.
That's a huge part of the game of golf, obviously, because golf is moving in such a slow pace, and mm-hmm. there's thoughts that can go through your head from shot to shot. So learning to do the right way and visualize the right way, for sure. I visualized that. Just birding those 2 holes, and I knew what clubs I was going to hit. Probably visualize that a ton. It's very important.
What are the big differences now? You know, obviously you had a very successful collegiate career. Outside of, you know, having to put food on the table, what are the biggest differences between the college and pro levels?
I'd say the biggest differences are, like, in college, we kind of had our schedule tailor made for us.
Mm-hmm.
Coach would, you know, schedule events just to be, you know, make it easy on us for studying and just getting in the rhythm of our games. Like, you would schedule like 2 tournaments on and then 1 or 2 weeks off, 2 tournaments on, you know, like what I mean? It's just perfect.
Yes.
Tailor for success. While in professional golf, like when you start out, especially, you don't have like many opportunities. You got to create these opportunities yourself, and you may have to go on the road for, you know, 7 weeks at a time and not come home. And then you may have times where, like, you're just not getting opportunities. And, like, so nothing is tailor made for you. You have to go create your own, you know. That is the biggest difference. It's just learning, like, what's best for you. When you're on your own, like, what being on campus was great with our team. Like, we had 10 guys on our team, and we could always go compete against each other and get a game. And, like, that's how we get better, is just, you know, competing within our whole team and getting each other going by, you know, being competitive with us. But when you're on your own, you may not have that all the time. Everyone has different schedules as a professional. Like, I can't just to my buddy and say, like, be relying on him every day to, like, be able to practice at this time and that time. So you're on your own more, and just learning what, you know, makes you better on your own. You know, that's the key.
Yeah. Hey, well, when you're back up in Chicago, I'll gladly go out there. I think I could use a few tips from you.
You got it. I am totally down. Send some swing vids my way. I can. I won't roast them like
that. you dropped TaylorMade a couple times, saying your schedule is TaylorMade, but you're a Nike guy, so we might have to bleep you saying that out.
Actually, I'm a Nike guy and a Titleist guy.
Okay.
So, Nike.
Get it right, Dan.
Yeah, Nike clothing, Titleist equipment. That's how I roll.
Speaking of scheduling, how do you go about scheduling nowadays? Do you sit down, like, look at the events? Because obviously, all right, you have your Korn Ferry Tour events, or you could go maybe try to Monday qualify, but then if you do that, you can't qualify for, you know, you're not able to play in other tournaments. So how do you prioritize that?
Yes, here I'm totally focused on Korn Ferry. I won't be like skipping events, qualify for PGA Tour. It's just it's a way for me to just lock up my tour Korn Ferry route. And hope to do that this year. So, you know, points rolled over from last year because of COVID. So I'm in a good spot right now. I'm in 15th. So I feel like I can go play well this summer on Korn Ferry and get my PGA Tour in the fall. That's the goal, you know?
I was kind of thinking as you were talking about how, like, sometimes you just get in your zone. You have to, like, calm yourself down. You're thinking to yourself, like, it's all on you. Danny and I actually have had a debate since we've known each other about, so I contend that, and I'd love to get your thought. I contend that, like, running, like, track and field or cross country is kind of like the most, you know, pure or most solo of sports, because it's literally just like you running and that's it. Like, it's you against a stopwatch. But he contends that golf is, because of, like, the different shots and it's the course and you're not really, like, you're just kind of playing and it's all in your head. So obviously you're biased, but do you think that golf is quote unquote the most solo sport?
I mean, I guess they both are. I mean, it's just different because I would say running is obviously more physical. Like, you can get a lot of fat guys in golf. running and cardio and going cross country is definitely more on the physical training. I would say golf is more like it's still mental though, you know, golf, you know, cross country is still mental. I would say, like, it's 75-25 physical. Golf is like 80% mental, 20% physical. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, both are very solo. I just don't know. Like, are you guys trying to argue one's harder or not?
Essentially. Yeah. Cause I ran track in high school. And I was like, oh, it's the most pure sport ever. Like, I'm good at something that's like everyone can do. That's more so where it's like everyone can run. Like, not everyone can hit a golf ball. But at the same time, like, when Danny would say, like, oh yeah, like, it's more the mental thing. Like, you have to think of so many different things and it's like on such a different level. But I don't know. That's just my take.
Totally apples to apples, this argument. So I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm just going to say both are respectively very difficult. But definitely, I just, like, no, playing professional, the mental grind can really wear on you. Like, when I'm tired after a tournament, it's not physical. It's like, I literally can't focus because I can't keep my eyes open. I'm like that mentally drained. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't personally, but because I've never been as good as golf as you are, but
I always said golf was the hardest because you can be so good at golf and the calendar flips, you know, the next day or next week, you go from being on top of your game to, you know, losing it. Whereas running, you have better days than others, but you're always going to be pretty close to, you know, where you were the previous day. Golf
a little more extreme. Like, good golf can come in waves. Bad golf can come in waves. Like, as long, I feel like, you know, a lot more things are in your control in cross country and running. Like, you can eat well, you can drink a lot of water, and you can train every day. And physically, you're going to hit some certain floor. But in golf, like, you can do all the things, feel like you're doing things the right way, and for some whatever reason, it's just may not be going your way. You know what I mean?
There's a little more luck involved with golf. You get a ball embedded in the fairway, or you hit a sprinkler head, which I think you did this week on a drive that went like 370 yards or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But whereas running, there's not really a whole lot of luck involved. Like you said, the floor is higher versus a little more variant in golf, but... Switching topics, I want to ask you about a story I saw on Twitter, and you can tell us whether or not this is true. But at the Big Ten Championship a few years ago, one of your teammates maybe went to take a leak out in the woods during the round and maybe dribbled a little bit on their pants. And you walked over, saw what happened, and decided that you too were going to pull up your pants a little early and leave a little wet spot. He said it calmed his nerves and he hit a nice drive and then settled in after that. But is this a true story or is this a total urban legend?
No, this is a true story.
I love it.
That's amazing.
I mean, honestly, like, I don't remember as much detail as him, but I do remember, like, this certain teammate, he's very sensitive. Like, he's a very sensitive guy. He's kind of all up in his feels sometimes. So I always, like, you know, I would, you know, usually just mess with him. But, like, this time, like, this was the middle of a Big Ten championship. I believe it was the second round, you know, there's three rounds. And it was a pivotal round. And we're in the middle of it. And he's playing in the group ahead of me. We get a big backup on a par three tee box. You know, I know he went up in the woods and took a leak and came back. And he, like, I mean, weird. I'm like, what are you looking at me for? And he, like, looked down. I'm like, oh. I knew. Really awkward and really, like, you know, he was sensitive about it because he didn't want anyone to see, especially, you know, other guys. And so I was on the way to go, you know, do the same thing. And I come back and I did the same thing as him just because I knew he was an extremely sensitive guy. And I didn't want him feeling, like, you know, exposed. So I just, in case anyone saw it, I did the same thing. That's really what I remember of it. I honestly thought, kind of forgot about that story. Like, when you wanted to say, tell it to the world, I'm like, what are you talking about? But now I remember, like, the exact hole, the exact spot where we were. And it is pretty funny, but, like, I mean, I feel like I did it for him just because I know his personality and I wanted him to, you know, feel fine.
I have a very similar story, and not to make this story time with Dan, but your story makes you a better guy than I am, because we were playing, this is in high school, I'm a senior, we have a stud freshman kid on our team. First tournament of the year, it's like the Tournament of Champions down DAY Ring Golf Course in Bloomington, where they host the state championship. They invited all the good teams from the previous year back to play. So we get paired up, and it's this kid's first tournament because he's a freshman. And we go down, we drive down as a team, we go to Steak and Shake before the tournament. Everyone orders milkshakes, burgers, everything. This kid's like, okay, I need to do that because I'm the freshman. That's what everyone's doing. Come to find, he's lactose intolerant. But he ate a whole milkshake before this tournament. I get paired with them. It's two kids from our school, two kids from another school, so it's a foursome. We're getting about two-thirds of the way through the round. It's a par four. We're on the tee box. He's kind of looking around, like, left and right. I'm like, what's up, man? You good? And he's like, yeah, do you know if there's a bathroom around here? And I'm like, yeah, there's one right after this hole. If you need to go ahead. I'll just tell the guys that, you know, you ran to the bathroom. We'll wait up for you. He's like, no, I should be good. I got this. And I'm like, all right. So he hits his ball right down the middle. We're getting up there. He's walking down the fairway, still kind of looking around. I'm like, no, seriously, like, if you have to go, just run over there. It's not a big deal. I'll just tell him you ran to the bathroom. He's like, no, we're good. We're good. So he hits his next shot on the green, probably got like a 25 footer, gets up there. Everyone's putting. He goes, he putts, drains a 25 footer. I look back, like, nice putt. He's halfway to the bathroom. He's wearing white pants, number two, all the way down his leg. Ooh. Brown streak, everything. He's like, kind of like limp walk into the bathroom. And I look back at the kids and they're just staring at me. And I'm like, what just happened? So we look back right where he hit the putt, number two on the green, just sitting there. Sitting there on the green. He drained it for birdie, walk off, goes to the bathroom. I like call over our coach. I'm like, coach,
best birdie of all time.
Best birdie I've ever seen.
Hey, he hit it.
He drained it. So I call over our coach. I'm like, hey, he's in the bathroom. He didn't quite make it all the way there in time, but so they had to call, like, maintenance, get a squeegee out. The guy's like, he's on the walkie-talkie, like, we need a squeegee and a bucket of water out here on number 13. And those kids are, like, looking at me. So we similar story, and unlike you, though, I did not partake in making him feel better and taking a number two out there myself. So credit to you for doing that,
man, especially it's team white pants and stuff.
It was, he's the classic, like, freshman. He's wearing the white belt, white pants, like, he's got the look going, like, he thinks he's Ricky Fowler out there. And we're like, I just felt so bad because it's his first tournament as a as a freshman playing with all these seniors. And we didn't find out after the fact. His dad told us, hey, he's lactose intolerant. And we're like, well, he probably shouldn't have drank that whole milkshake before for the tournament. But he ended up, you know, his dad drove down, picked him up, didn't ride the team bus home. And, he heard it for a year or so, but we let it slide eventually. He was good enough that he could play through it.
That's great.
So this is more of like retired, current, like any athlete, like what's your dream foursome? And it could even be like some regular people. Like if you had like three other dudes that you're going out there and you're playing around with, who is it going to be for Nick Hardy?
My dad, Tiger and MJ.
That's nice. And in that foursome, is your dad just kabooming all over MJ?
Oh, he's clowning on it. He's just
Twitter videos, live stream, yelling kaboom in his backswing, doing it all.
Yeah, totally.
Is it you two versus Tiger and MJ?
Totally.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Hardy's verse.
Yeah.
How much are you throwing down on each hole?
Oh, gosh. Not
millions of dollars?
Not a lot.
More than you have?
They can peg us there. They have me there.
What in this dream scenario, what course are you playing?
Augusta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you not played that, have you?
No.
That's the dream?
Totally.
How many years are we going to give it so we can pull this clip in, like, say next year, so then when you're playing in the... next year? All right.
Yep.
All right.
How do you not spend... Actually, now that we're talking about money, how do you not spend... Because, I mean, you never talk about another man's money, but we obviously can see how much you make from, like, those bigger tournaments. How do you not just, like, spend all that? Or how does it even work? Because if I got, like... that much, if I got six figures or something after just like one weekend, I'd be like, all right, well, I can have a little bit of fun. Not obviously spending it all, but like, how do you taper that?
I'm not a big spender, first of all, but you know, the government gets a nice piece of it. And then, you know, I actually, you know, it's funny. You guys said that I got a car today. I this car that I just, you know,
Lamborghini,
I had it for high school. I had a 2012 Camry. And I love my Camry so much. I got another 2020 Camry. So
wow.
It's the Nightshade Edition. It's got black rims. It's white. I think it's
Speaking of that, I do want to ask you this, because in different sports, you know, football, baseball, basketball, the players are salaried. So you know what you're making, whether you go score 30 points in a basketball game or you are riding the bench and don't score anything. It's kind of locked into a contract. Obviously, there's sponsorships and things, but like, How does that feel to you when you're out there every single week competing for that money and for that check?
The no guaranteed parts in golf is what makes it awesome, I think. Like, you know, even the best players in the world are not, you know, guaranteed to make $50 million a year, because just like Steph Curry is, you know, like it's like you got to every single week, like, you know, next week starts at zero. So it's pretty cool in golf, you know, you got to earn it in the week too. You can't, you know, it's not just a money grab, you know, you got to make the cut to make money. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I always think about, you know, the newer guys on tour when it's, you know, they haven't quite established themselves, and even like a little putt at the end, like a little 4-footer, it might, you know, move you from 42nd or whatever to, you know, 30th. Yeah, and that could be a $15,000-$20,000 swing right there, just on a little 5-footer.
Totally. It's stakes are high on any given shot out there. I think it's pretty cool.
Do you try to remove the money piece behind it when you're out there, or is that hard to do? Do you think about that little thing? Like, this is a $15,000 putt.
Especially now, I'm like, you know, I kind of try to have the attitude where like, okay, I'm going to be out here for a long time. One shot is not end all be all, you know, just go out there, play your game, and it'll take care of itself, you know? So, you know, obviously stakes are high, you know, especially for me being young in my career. But that's the kind of attitude that I've had the last 2 months. So, that's kind of what I roll with.
Yeah. Where can Illini fans or Nick Hardy fans find you, playing next? I know you said Corn Ferry starting up here soon. Is that where you're going
to be? Monday, Sarasota Monday. So it's the first Corn Ferry event,
The road to the top 25. Mikey's down in Sarasota quite a bit, so might have to fly in just to watch. That was Nick Hardy, everybody. Nick, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Field Pass. We have another very special Illini guest by the name of Nick joining us next week to talk a little bit about his Super Bowl experience this past weekend. So be on the lookout for that. If you want to find us on social media, you can do so at The Field Pass on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. Go Illini.